Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 689, E3 2019 discussion, recorded live on June 20th, 2019. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Deathstorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are back to talk about non-Infinite news, because we spent last week talking about 3 hours worth of Infinite news, breaking down the trailer and opening cutscene. So it's time to actually talk about the other E3 stuff, some of which
Halo important. Might sneak in there a little bit.
Just a bit. There was a thing called Halo Reach on PC that was also at E3, so we'll talk about that a little bit. We're just taking time to talk about the non-Infinite stuff that we completely put to the side last week.
Yeah, we did a 3-hour show on, 8 minutes of video?
Five and a half.
Five minutes of video.
Yeah. It was a detailed breakdown.
There's a lot of speculation going on.
I mean, that's what we do as Halo fanatics. That's our shtick.
Speak for yourself. I'm just a nut.
We all are in our own right, I think. But we've got a lot of the Xbox press brief that we're going to be talking about, as well as a couple of Discovery dispatches that were posted over the past couple of weeks. And maybe a couple other little things that we'll touch on. But first things first, let's go ahead and do a little bit of our house cleaning. So, GT, how we do for, I think, Fragging Friday,
2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Do you remember that far back?
No. We actually had a lot of fun. We were kind of bouncing back and forth between Fiesta and I think we played... A little bit of SWAT too.
Nice.
At the very beginning. So,
very nice. Yeah, very good.
Had a lot of fun.
Sounds like a pretty good group of people showed up.
It was a little bit quiet, but overall we had fun. There were, nothing super crazy yet.
Okay. I guess we'll see if anything else comes up for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomorrow ought to be fun, I hope.
I will not be attending tomorrow because I'll be practicing for the Halo Bowl, which will be this weekend, which we'll touch on here in a little bit. But it's hopefully just putting on a good show at this point. And Keys has a very big backpack right now. We played in the Team Slayer playlist, I think, the Slayer playlist on Sunday or Monday, I think Monday. And his backpack was big enough to get me to a diamond rank.
Oh, yay. So now you can't go in there by yourself.
No. No, I can't. I would get slaughtered. And Keys has a champion rank. So yeah, that's how big his backpack is. If anyone needed a clue. So there you go.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, interesting is a word to use. Sure.
Yeah, Taz, I was watching Taz practice last night, I think it was, and he asked me why I wasn't participating, and I says, they can only help so much.
Well, he's not even participating in his team. He's not on their roster. So, he has no room to talk if he's calling you out.
No, he's just asking why I wasn't participating, and I says, there isn't a backpack big enough to carry me and us.
Yeah, not both of us for sure. So, all right, very nice. For the achievement stream, I did this past week. So this past Sunday, streamed with Laird a little bit more, working on some of the campaign unlockables. Managed to finally get all of these skulls. So got the Grave Robber achievement on Definitive Edition. And that's all I've got for the time being.
Woo!
Yay. We'll be doing a little bit more on Sunday, I think. I had to double check with Laird, but we'll do another round of achievement hunting in Definitive Edition. And then once Outposts kicks off, obviously Sundays I will not be here, so every other Sunday. I'm not sure what exactly I'm doing at the moment, but we'll find out when it gets to that point.
He'll be sleeping.
Well, it'll be in the middle of the transitionary period, so we'll see what happens. Depends on how prepared all my panels are for the proceeding location. We'll see. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. That's all of the housekeeping that we had. So let's go ahead and jump on into some E3 news. We talked about Infinite last week, obviously. So this week we're going to talk about the rest of the Xbox press brief and anything else that GT possibly caught, because I honestly have not checked up on any of the other press briefings. I don't know if you have.
I really only watched the Xbox one. I didn't watch any of the other press briefings. The only one I was interested in was Xbox. And I was only really interested in about the last 10 minutes of it.
Yeah, that's understandable.
There's a lot of good games coming out. They look really interesting. They're just not for me. I'm very picky about what video games I play. They just have to scratch a certain itch. And, everybody's hyped about Gears. I never liked the Gears franchise. I mean, it's a neat story, but I've just never liked the mechanics of the game.
I'm kind of in the same boat as you on that, actually. And,
same for Borderlands. When Borderlands came up on the, the free game thing, I downloaded it and I started playing it, and it just, it's, believe it or not, I didn't enjoy it.
It's very different. It's a very different kind of shooter experience.
I have very specific tastes.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty of games to go around. Plenty of games to go around.
Yeah, I would like to see Gran Turismo come to Xbox, but that's not going to happen. I actually, back on when I was playing on a PS1, that game was a lot of fun. And I would like to have that game again to play, with the updated graphics and everything. Forza is fun, but it's not the same kind of fun as Gran Turismo was. Gran Turismo was more the technical side. I mean, you could really get in there and futz with cars and make them run really good. Where in Forza, it's really more about the cars. Getting a better car.
There was someone at E3 I was talking to who brought up Gran Turismo as well, and we got to talking about Forza and Gran Turismo a little bit. I don't remember who it was, but yeah, they basically brought up the same kind of things that you were talking about as far as being able to really get into the weeds as far as car detail, and Forza just doesn't quite scratch that itch for him.
Yeah, I've been meaning to pick up, there was a NASCAR game that I can play on Xbox One, but I just haven't done it because every time I think about it, I'm broke. So,
oh,
but there's only so much going in a circle you can do.
They're making a left turn. Oh, they're making another left turn. Oh, they're going into a pit stop and they're making a left turn.
But before I get, really into driving games again, I'd like to get me a decent steering wheel and pedals and something better suited for driving.
Sure.
I can do it with a controller. It's more fun with a steering wheel and pedals.
At some point, I would like to get a steering wheel and pedals for a driving experience, but I've got plenty of other games to play, and racing games, while it kind of was one of my initial genres that I really got into with gaming, with everything that I do with Halo and first-person shooters, now there's just not as much time that I would play a racing game to really justify getting it right now. Maybe as life changes and if our kids have an interest in racing games or whatnot, then maybe at that point, but not for the foreseeable future.
I'd really like to try out some VR racing.
I hadn't even thought about that before. That would be kind of interesting. Get one of the kind of roll cage simulator things and then put it on a VR headset. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
But anyway, let's get back to E3. Kind of. As far as things that really piqued my interest, the number of games that Xbox is launching in the next year.
Yeah.
The number of studios they're acquiring is really amazing. The biggest thing that's got my eyebrows up is xCloud.
Yep.
And this is going to be interesting because Microsoft is setting themselves up to be in a very unique position. They will basically be able to deliver gaming content to any person in the world that has an internet connection and a supported device. You know, like they said, 2 billion gamers. That's a lot of freaking gamers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this relates to Google Stadia. I really don't know if Google's going to be able to pull this off. Not going against Xbox. Because at launch, Xbox will have thousands of games available. Well, potentially available.
Yeah.
To stream. Where Stadia launches with 100. Don't get me wrong, there's some big names in there. Like, you know, there's, I can't even remember the list now. But, you know, there are some big names in there, but.
Well, the biggest one being the Assassin's Creed game. But I think there's only about 100.
Yeah.
Or so.
They're launching with 100 games.
Which is not something to balk at for Google. It's not. I mean, they're just getting into the gaming thing. So it kind of makes sense.
From what I understand, they haven't released a lot of information on Stadia, but it sounds like the games have to be written for Linux because it's a Linux-based service.
There's only a handful of games that are.
Yeah, there's only a handful of games that are, but Steam is actually got a project that's kind of blurring the line there between Linux and Windows, so that's good. Let's put it this way. It's getting to the point where I'm seriously considering starting to look into Linux. I have really thought about setting up a Linux virtual machine and just to start playing around with it. Because they've got some versions of Linux out there that are really driven to be user-friendly. I mean, have to be a coder to make good use of them. But anyway, back to
one of the more popular servers. Ones is Ubuntu.
Well, they've got the latest one I've seen is Pop.
I haven't heard of that one.
It's a variation on Ubuntu, but Pop OS actually has basically an app store where you can go to their store and download programs to install on your machine. You know, just like the Windows Store or the Apple Store or the Google Store. And with Pop OS, it's also geared a little bit more towards the gamer. It comes preloaded with some stuff that will allow you to actually run Windows games on the machine.
So probably a Wine distribution.
That's one of the distros. I think there's 2 or 3 of them on there. You know, depending on which game, you know, some work better with certain games than others or certain programs than others. And then you've got Steam doing the same thing where they're actually making it possible to take Windows games and play them on Linux too. But it it looks really interesting. But with the game streaming, this is something, ever since I heard them announce xCloud, I wanted to know if we were going to be able to do that with our own Xboxes. Because that is a big deal. To have a service like that and make it a pay-only service where you have to use their hardware was kind of rubbing me the wrong way. Especially after they announced that they're basically putting Xbox Ones in these data centers. And then they're using an app to access these Xbox Ones to do the streaming service.
I thought that was a little finicky too.
You know, if they were using custom hardware, I probably wouldn't have been, you know, I wouldn't have been too upset about it. But seeing that they're actually taking and turning Xbox Ones into Blades and putting them in Azure network servers or data centers, you know, I was like, well, why can't the home people do that? You know, provided they have an internet connection that can support that. You know, they have enough upload bandwidth. And then, you know, at E3, they announced that we will be able to do that.
Yep.
Hence the big update that they've made to, or that they're starting to make to the Xbox app. That is also in relation to the new Xbox Game Pass for PC.
Game Pass Ultimate.
Yeah, this is getting aggressive, because they have, you know, you have your Xbox Game Pass, you have your PC Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass, and then you have xCloud, and you do your Xbox Game Pass Ultimate or whatever they call it.
Yep.
And that is all three of them for $15 a month.
So that's Xbox Live Gold, Xbox Game Pass, and then Xbox Game Pass for PC altogether. That's not xCloud.
Oh, yeah, that's not xCloud. Sorry. Xbox Live and both Game Pass services for $15 a month. That's not bad. That's actually really good. And it's not a right fit for everybody.
But here's something to check out for now. They're doing a one-for-one conversion of any Xbox Game Pass subscription and Xbox Live subscription to Game Pass Ultimate. So until the end of this month, you can, like, the way to work around this is find a cheap deal on Xbox Live and or Game Pass, apply to your account, you can convert up to 36 months one for one to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, and you're set for 3 years. So if you were to find a $30 code for 12 months of Xbox, if you bought three of those, like say you didn't have Live today, if you bought three of those, applied them to your account, and then paid the $1 to convert to Game Pass Ultimate, you would have 3 years of Game Pass Ultimate for the equivalent cost of 3 years of Xbox Live Gold plus a dollar.
Yeah, that's a really good, you know, that's a good value. But I mean, even just the regular deal, for the person that buys multiple games a year, it makes sense. It's cheaper. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at $190 a year. And what, that's three AAA games? AAA games?
$180 goes a long way. And it's essentially the same as buying at market value Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass, and then getting Xbox Game Pass for PC thrown in for free.
It's a lot of stuff. And if I played more games, I probably would subscribe to it. I know I got a friend of mine. I hope he's paying attention, because it will definitely help him out.
Yep. So that's really, I mean, Microsoft's doing a really good, or going down a really good idea here and basically trying to hook everyone in with doing that $1 conversion. It's like, if they get people in there for like 3 months, or not 3 months, 3 years, that's pretty good. It's like, yeah, you're really getting people into that marketplace. And I mean, 3 years is enough to really get someone hooked on the product and then just kind of keep running with the product.
Most definitely. Most definitely. But the other thing, the other part of that equation is they're not hedging all their bets on that. They're still in the hardware business as well. They're still putting out Xboxes, hence the next generation.
Right. Because I understand a lot of people aren't necessarily going to have the bandwidth, especially in rural areas, to use xCloud. So they, and that was one of the things that they were pretty clear on during the brief, is that they still wanted to make sure that those gamers have the ability to game the way that they want to play.
Yeah.
Evident again by the fact that Microsoft is finally allowing Win32 apps on the Windows Store, and then starting to kind of make that deal with Steam to have some Microsoft Game Studio games on Steam. They're really making the moves to make it to where the gamer has as many options to play the games they want to play as possible, which is, I mean, it's not really revolutionary, but it's a big, bold step for Microsoft to take.
Yeah, there's a... I like their strategy right now. It favors us. It really does favor us. They're going to make a boatload of money off of it, which is what they're supposed to do. That's why they're in business. But I think we're going to reap the benefits of it. It will be to the point where we can play pretty much whatever, just about whatever we want, wherever we want, whenever we want. So the days of lugging your Xbox console from New York to California so you can play video games while you're on vacation, those days might be limited. Now, don't get me wrong. There's infrastructure that needs to catch up for a lot of this stuff, especially in the mobile market. With the launch of 5G, that will... As that becomes more of a standard, provided they don't come up with 6G before they get 5G implemented, then, you know, that's going to be, you know, an important step, because 5G in a mobile marketplace really will improve your transfer rates on your mobile devices. Granted, it's going to take years for everybody to adopt that. You know, right now, there's four, maybe five phones that actually support 5G right now. And those are all the high-end phones, usually, you know, the $700 to $1,200 phones, you know, the one you'd give an arm, leg, and most of your teeth for. But it'll be a while before, you know, a lot of people adopt that, in especially in the lower end of phones.
Yeah, because it's going to take a little more time probably for things to kind of level out. And Halo Collector is saying in the Mixer chat, there's a tech war on 5G happening between US and Chinese standards.
Yeah, there is.
Because they've already got a lot of that infrastructure already built out over there. And I know there's some stuff happening in the US and Europe, but...
Well, like I said, the 5G really has only started showing up here in the last 2 or 3 years. You know, the available 5G networks are very small in comparison to, you know, how much cell service or cell coverage there is out there. I'm
crazy world. Kind
of keeping my eye on it as well, as far as for, you know, our area, because if... Once 5G becomes widely available, then it will be, you know, people that live in rural areas will have access, could possibly have access to high-speed internet. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, the 4G LTE, it'll give you enough download to, you know, watch a high-definition movie on Netflix. But it gives you crap for upload. I've actually been looking into it recently, and you know, you get 1/10 of a megabyte upload
for your LTE service.
Yeah.
I get more than that.
On your upload?
Yeah. I'm going to run a test right now, but yeah, I've got, I mean, it's not.
I'm also talking in rural areas. I'm not talking in the city.
Right.
You know, this is out in the middle of, anyway. But, you know, as that infrastructure grows out, this formula that Microsoft to put together will become more and more attractive.
It's going to take a lot of infrastructure to get there, though.
Well, I mean, fiber internet, thanks to Google, is becoming more and more popular.
Well, so I was talking to a coworker today, and he was saying that, like, Google Fiber has stopped rolling out completely, like, two years ago.
But it's inspired other companies to invest in their infrastructure.
That's true.
Like, I actually run Consolidated, and guess what? I have a fiber connection, and they run right next to the Google lines.
There you go.
I mean, I can have Google Fiber here at my house, but I never had a reason to switch because Consolidated, same pricing structure, you know, there was no benefit to switch to Google. And, you know, Consolidated got here before Google did, you know, so why switch? I get 100 up and 100 down. Well, that's what it's rated at. It usually runs at about uncapped. I will get between 90 and 100, but I have a limit on, I actually put a limit on my internet connection through my router so I don't oversaturate it.
Yeah, that's smart.
So, you know, I cap it at 75, which is enough to keep everything working well.
Okay.
I actually need to get off my butt and build my custom router.
Yeah, I'm good with my router for the time being. It's got its quirks, though, because whenever I stream with Laird, apparently my ping is super bad. So there's an issue with my router. So I just did a speed test on 4G LTE. I got 148 down and 30 up from a server that's 250 miles away.
What did 4G's you get up?
Still pretty good. 30.
30 up?
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing spectacular.
Yeah, with 5G, you'd be looking at what? It's gigabit down, isn't it? If I remember correctly.
Maybe up to gigabit.
But yeah, I mean, it's maximum.
That's crazy that you could do gigabit over wireless.
Let's see.
Just all that noise and saturation is just...
Oh, sorry.
It still boggles my mind.
5G network speeds, let's see, can go up to 20 gigabits.
20? Dang.
Up 20 gigabits? 20.
You gotta be probably like right freaking by the tower.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you're gonna get 20 with your phone.
Okay. Yeah, so like if you have something else that, like probably some other card that would support it. Yeah. Okay. No, that makes sense.
But like if you had a wireless access point or something like that, or, you know, a wireless hot or a cell hotspot or something like that, you know, where you can put in your higher end hardware, then you can probably get a little bit better speed out of that. But, you know, that's probably for the actual. No, that doesn't even make sense. I doubt they'll make that publicly available. They'll probably throttle it back to a maximum of a gigabit per connection just to keep from oversaturating their networks as it becomes more and more popular.
From like all the providers, you mean? Yeah, that makes sense. All right, should we get back on topic?
Sure, why not?
Since we kind of jumped around a little bit. But since you were talking about xCloud, I did have a chance to try it out. And I don't know what the exact configuration of it was, but I did get to play on a Samsung S10. And it was... Some of the phones actually had a hardwired Ethernet connection. Some of them were running off of local wireless. But all the Xbox controllers were wired in to the phones. obviously with all the other Xboxes there and games going on, probably just don't want to risk the disconnect on the controllers. But it was actually, I was impressed. I went in skeptical because the whole streaming games over a network connection and doing the game streaming with the Xbox app has always been laggy to the point where, for me, you can't really play through the app if you wanted to. But the delay actually felt like if you were playing on a TV that didn't have game mode turned on yet. So it was a manageable delay, and really didn't notice any drop in graphic quality, although it is like a 6-inch screen that you're holding up to your face, so it's hard to kind of really see the pixelation. But it was only when there was a lot of movement, like whenever you see normal video compression with things moving really quickly, I could start seeing a little bit of it, but it wasn't distracting.
You weren't actually dropping frames. It was just getting a little fuzzy in spots.
Right. And I managed to...
So what were you playing?
I managed to sneak in Halo 5 matchmaking. I hopped into Super Fiesta, and I did a decent job. It wasn't my greatest game of Super Fiesta, but...
Well, no, but...
I managed to pull off some headshot snipes, and obviously having to account a little bit for the input delay, but it felt really good. I was honestly impressed with how well it worked. Granted, it was probably run by Xboxes or servers that were underneath the little console where they had all the
no, play actually units. That the server that those were supposedly connected to was 200 miles away.
Oh, where'd you hear that?
That came directly from Xbox when they were doing an interview about the game streaming that they were demonstrating. Now, they did say that most of them were on a wired connection because of the convention. You know, with all that wireless traffic, it obviously was going to screw with the phones, which is fair enough. Because, I mean, even on a wired connection, think about it. A wired connection going through the internet to an Azure server 200 miles away.
Mm-hmm. And the phone I was playing on was actually wireless. It was going over wireless.
Like I said, you know, there were some of the phones were plugged in, some of them weren't.
I actually crashed a Halo Wars build. Because that was the first thing I picked up was Halo Wars. Or Halo Wars 2, and I hit a pause menu, and then the screen went all fuzzy, and apparently that's like one of the known compatibility issues with that game specifically. But then they said, what game do you want to play? I'm like, Halo 5. And that's when I snuck into social to Super Fiesta and played a matchmaking game, and I'm like, huh, this actually feels like I could play it like in bed if I wanted to, or on the road if I had good wireless connectivity.
Or, you know, you could bring, you know, if you have a compatible phone, bring you a little wired adapter. You know, if you get, you know, a USB-C to Ethernet jack adapter. And, you know, you sit in the hotel room, just, you know, set your phone up on its little stand on the desk, get your controller out and start playing.
So here would be the interesting thing. If I could, I can't remember if they said that they're doing this or not. But have it Chromecast to a TV, or have a little HDMI USB adapter to where you can plug it into the TV, and then you basically just turn the TV into your big screen display.
Yeah. I this is where I wish they didn't drop the Windows Phone. This is where I wish they hadn't dropped the Windows Phone because of the Continuum app.
Is that like the screen?
That's basically screen sharing. It takes, you have a USB-C Thunderbolt connection on the bottom of, or on the phone, and you can attach a dock, or in my case, I have a dock, which is basically, you know, this, and I know tiny. The people on the audio part are going to say, what? just look up Microsoft Doc. And, you know, it's nothing real crazy. It's just a brick. It's got USB and it's got DisplayPort and HDMI out. That's it. But I also have a laptop version, which is basically a battery, a keyboard, mouse pad, a screen in a little laptop case or, you know, form factor. Kind of like, you know, a Chromebook, something like that. But to do something like that, it's ultra portable. But to do that, then I could connect my controller via Bluetooth or wired, especially if I have a certain new controller, which we'll get to in a minute. And then I could, you know, I could have myself, you know, like a little 12-inch screen to play on.
Yeah. It'd
be ultra portable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. That's definitely one of those things that sucks.
Like I said, they had a really good idea with Windows Phone. I just really wish they'd have put some more effort into it and really done what they needed to make it successful.
I think they just did too little too late.
They have features there that could have competed with Android and iOS. They just didn't market it correctly. They could have stole Apple's thunder there if they would have just made some different choices with their operating system.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Because honestly, all they had to do was get people to build apps for it. And the simple way to do that is make their product, as far as the apps, free or take a very small chunk of the sales. And they could have been rolling in mobile money.
Yeah.
But the way they chose to do it, they screwed themselves right from the beginning. But anyway, back to that. Anyway, so I was really looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks to hear. But hopefully iOS has AirPlay, and that usually is pretty stable. And then Android has the Chromecast, which it's getting more and more support from apps, so there's still a little bit of a gap there, but it's
possible we can see it. Well, see, the nice thing with Continuum was it was all hardware. Yeah, you could do it wirelessly through whatever the tap to share was, mm-hmm. and it would work okay, but you could physically plug a cable in and have no issues, or very few.
There's probably some dedicated graphics processing in there to enable that, right?
Yeah, I mean, when a few years ago when my wife was in having surgery, I literally took this laptop dock, my phone, and I was sitting in the waiting room with a pair of headphones on watching movies on hotel Wi-Fi, streaming movies from my own Plex server and watching them in HD with no problems.
Dang.
Dust was kind enough to help me out and swing by one of the Xbox booths and pick up the Elite Series 2 and give me some feedback on it.
Yes, I did do that.
So why don't you share that with our listeners?
Okay. So during the press brief, they obviously talked about how they're listening to community feedback and everything that was issues for the original Elite controller and whatnot.
Bumpers.
You want me to just cut to the chase?
Bumpers. Oh.
So obviously one of the big things is the bumpers breaking and not working. And I don't know if this was just the particular set I was using or if this is just some kind of indication of the quality on the next Elite's coming, but everything on the controller felt great except the bumpers. And I'm pulling out my Elite right now, my first one that I have.
The Elite that he never uses.
It's always connected to my computer. So if I ever play Halo 5 Forge, this is what I'm using for it. So this is the only time I'd be using my Elite controller. Or if I have an Elite controller that if I take a controller on the road, I'll take that one. But one of the things for me is I don't like the weight of the controller. Man, I know why it's heavy, but I personally don't like the weight of the controller, and I can't use the paddles because my hands are too big for the controller. I would clinch them, and it would.
You know, when I first started using my Elite, I had that problem because, you know, your hands are probably roughly the same size as mine. And I had to learn to not squeeze with my fingers, you know, with my middle and my middle and pointer finger, because those are the ones that rest on the paddles. I had to learn to grip the controller with my pinky and ring finger. And that's how I hold the controller.
I still do that, but the way I could hold it, and again, no one on audio is going to really see this, but where I rest my middle fingers on the back of the controller is right where the two top bumpers would be.
Yeah.
And then if I'm getting into a firefight and I'm trying to move things around, I am squeezing on the handles.
Yeah. Like I said, at first it took me a while to adjust. I hold the controller basically with my pinky and my palm. And then I actuate the buttons on the bottom with my ring finger and middle finger. And then of course my index or pointer finger, I triggers and bumpers. But like I said, it took me some time to adjust to it. You know, just like learning a new control scheme. It takes a little bit before it's second nature. And now that I've played with it for, 3 years now? I love it. I don't even notice the weight of the controller anymore. Now, granted, I play wired, so I don't have any batteries in it, so that helps with the weight. And that's one thing that I'm kind of irritated about with the new version, that it doesn't have a removable or replaceable battery.
Yeah, it's integrated.
So probably as soon as the warranty expires on it, I will probably be opening it up and removing the battery where possible.
The Elite controller
is just comparing weight between regular and an Elite controller.
Well, you just mentioned the whole removing battery thing, and I it didn't even really dawn on me, but
makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, actually, it kind of does. I'd say the Elite's still heavier. Actually, with because I think I have a battery in this one too. With the batteries out of the Elite controller, it's maybe slightly lighter than the regular with batteries in it, like just ever so slightly. So maybe I'll try that because it's significantly lighter without the batteries.
Yeah. The Elite controllers, they're chunks. Don't get me wrong. I mean, when you pick one up, you know you've got something in your hand. You know, because there is a lot of metal in an Elite controller, and that's one of the nice things about it. I will be interested to see, and if anybody from Microsoft is listening to this podcast by sheer chance, you want to test a controller? Send it to my house. Give me 6 months. I'll tell you if it's a good controller or not. Because I've got two of these Elites, and there are buttons on these things that are wore out.
Yeah, so the
I would send them in for warranty repair, but I've already taken them apart to replace bumpers on both of them. So, not to mention this one of the sticks likes to drift. So I got to take it apart and fix that again.
Yeah, so back to the bumper thing. I pulled out my Elite originally to compare the bumpers. Of course, like in the new Elite, the triggers feel like they're metal, not the plastic like they are on the original Elite. The rubber grip all the way around to the front is actually a nice feel to it, and they have classic Xbox 360 thumbsticks without the four little dot things. They said there was like some design limitations to have little four little dot things, but they have the Xbox 3 style kind of thumbsticks in the new one. The hair triggers have three settings instead of two. Profile, you can have three profiles on the controller instead of two. And
technically there are four profiles on it.
Yes.
With no lights on, it's default. Right. Now, that one, I believe they don't give you access to actually change. Whenever right. you're on the default, it's just the default button layout. Then you can assign profiles to, you can assign three profiles. So you have your default profile, and then you have three custom profiles.
And for the paddle buttons on the back, you can actually make it to one of your paddles as like a shift key on your keyboard. And so you can have, like, say, one half of a profile to be just normal buttons. And then if you hold down a paddle, you can change what the other buttons do for like a quick second. So like, say for Halo, if you're sniping, you want to change one of the buttons that you normally have as jump to a crouch or something else, then you can hold shift while you're hovering or zoomed in or whatever and have a different button or something like that. So that is a cool little feature as well. But yeah, the bumpers, they feel cheaper than the original Elite.
I don't know. The original felt pretty cheap, especially after I took it apart and saw what they were.
Yeah.
I'm not so much worried about how they feel. I'd like to know how they're constructed and what type of pivot mechanism they're using, because that's the problem with the original. It's the piece of plastic where they pivot is where they break.
So obviously the only thing that we'd have on that is just the little construction, like, breakout animation mm-hmm. that we saw in their video. So which obviously don't have that, but just from the way that it felt like they clicked, it felt like the ones that I was testing out with, or at least that controller specifically, felt like it wasn't, like, it felt like it's been used a lot. And I mean, these things are supposed to last for years and thousands of presses, like hundreds of thousands of presses.
Those could be some of the units they used for durability testing too. They're probably, none of them were probably actual production units.
Right. That's, I mean, but you would want to put your best product forward with people trying them out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. With shows like that, stuff like hardware, it's a lot of it. A lot of people's opinions also depend on the environment they're in. It alters the way you feel things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that it's inaccurate what you felt in the buttons. It just, without things side by side to compare, it's hard to really judge that. Because, you know, one of the worst things in the world is a human's memory. we don't have perfect recall. And stuff like that, you really just need to feel for yourself. When they hit stores, I will probably take one of my Elites with me and go down to the Microsoft store and pick one up and play with them side by side, just to see what it feels like.
And that, I would recommend doing that, because like you said, there's nothing like a side by side comparison. And I mean, I messed around with the controller for a good 10 minutes looking at, like, pulling things off and putting things on. And, oh, another thing that I forgot to mention, there's little tension screws in the thumbsticks.
That's one of the things I'm the most excited about. That is the availability of adjusting stick tension.
And that one actually felt really good. That was one of those things. It's like, that would be one of the things that would push me to probably start using an Elite 2 more, is the fact that I can make those thumbsticks more like the 360 thumbsticks. Because, I mean, the way I play Halo is very, like, all the way to the extreme side of things. So if there was more tension there where they had a little more pushback against my thumb, it would probably actually improve my game a little bit. So I might get a 2 just to try it out and have it and maybe mess around with it. With the whole battery idea, I might start trying to use the Elite controller without the battery and see if that helps me too.
I mean, even with just, you know, putting the bumpers aside, the Elite controller feels better in my hands anyway. I mean, my original Xbox One controller, my day one edition controller, yeah, it didn't make it 12 months before it was damaged.
Damaged how?
Let's put it this way. The right thumbstick doesn't push down anymore because it doesn't come back up. The, you know, the down push for the thumbstick.
Yeah, the click, yeah, the click in.
It went down and it didn't come back up one day.
Okay.
So my Melee kind of doesn't work. But all in all, the construction quality of the Series 1, I was impressed with. I got my money's worth out of it. Because in the time that I've had these controllers, which I do have two of them, in the time that I've had these controllers, I would have had to buy four, maybe five regular controllers. That's just how rough I am on controllers. I tend to wear them out. You know, pro gamers are the same way. They tend to rotate through controllers pretty quickly because they'll get dead spots in the sticks and buttons won't work correctly and things like that. So they tend to rotate through controllers pretty quickly.
My day one edition started drifting, so I don't use that one anymore, but all my other Xbox controllers that I have, which I believe I have three or four other ones, I haven't had issues with yet.
Like I said, this Elite, the one I currently have, is the only one I've had a problem with drifting. The other one that I've got somewhere, I forgot where I put it. That's my Duke. I broke the trigger stop on it. I was getting hot and heavy into some head-to-head action and kind of got a little over-aggressive on the trigger and went crunch right in the middle of a gunfight. And I'm like, oh, shoot!
Ooh. Ouch.
So I'm looking forward to the Series 2. Next year is going to be a damned expensive year.
You're planning on paying tax or attending PAX next year, right?
Right now, planning. With the launch of a new Xbox, of a new Halo game.
To be PAX, fair, you don't necessarily have to get the new Xbox to play.
Well, that depends on if they have a Halo Xbox or not.
That's my exact problem as well. If they have a Halo one, I'm buying it. If they don't, I'm sticking with my current Xbox or playing just on my PC.
But it kind of all depends on how they do that. Infinite has the availability of crossplay. I may hold off on buying the new generation Xbox. If it doesn't support crossplay, then I most likely will. But seeing that Halo is going to be a launch title for the Xbox, I expect to see an Xbox Scarlet or whatever the hell they wind up calling it, a Halo Edition box. Being a launch title for the new generation console, I expect to see a Halo Xbox. So right there, just in those three things, I'm looking at probably $3,500, $4,000, and that doesn't even give me any fun money for PAX.
Yep, next year's going to be an expensive year. Yep.
I've thought about it.
So I think we covered most of the stuff with the Elite controller. I don't think there's any other aspects that I really checked up on as far as the controller. You do make a good point, though, about the battery and the weight. So would be interesting to see if, I guess it won't be easily removable. You'll probably have to manually remove it. But yeah, I will say, though, that the under the thumbsticks, where that was plastic before, I think that's actually metal. So most of the stuff on the new controller is metal. I think as far as a lot of the input stuff, I think the triggers were as well, or they felt a little bit more metal than, and maybe it's just kind of like a coating, but but they felt more metal than the triggers on the first Gen Elite, but the bumpers still felt kind of cheap. That's pretty much that. Another thing that was pretty cool as well was the more details on the Scarlet, and they didn't really show off the capabilities too much, but they had a video of folks talking about what Microsoft's doing for the next console, and they're touting 4K up to 120 frames per second. Did they mention the 8K in there at some point?
Like the new console is capable of 8K, okay, and is capable of 120 frames per second. It is up to the individual game creators to use it.
So a lot of the heavy graphical AAA games will probably only run at 4K for full frame rate. Maybe some of their simpler games will run, like Minecraft or something, will run at that 8K, possibly 60 frames a second. And I also believe they said there was going to be two different versions, one with a disk drive and one without.
Well, the rumor is you'll have your base next-gen console, the Scarlet, and then you'll have the X version, like we have our Xbox One X, which is codenamed the Anaconda. So if their base console is capable of 120 frames per second and at 8K, I'm really interested to see what the specs are for their premium console, if it actually exists.
that's a pretty good point. Pretty big if.
Like,
there.
This is the Anaconda is all theory right now. So we don't know that it's true. The Scarlet could be the premium option, and later on they'll bring in an Xbox S series console, which will be, a lower end console, still better than the X, but not quite to Scarlet's level. Probably minus a disk drive, maybe even smaller storage, but still same RAM, same processor.
Same kind of baseline specs. Another nice thing, which a lot of people have been asking for, is Scarlet's going to have a solid state drive. So incredibly fast reload times, and which makes sense because of all the 4K and 8K content, that would take a long time to load off of a spinning disk. Yep. My only thing, they didn't talk about this, but I hope that they do, is make it to where you can swap out the hard drive for a bigger one.
Doubt it.
Or maybe have a second slot in there, because I know like the hard drive is probably running the OS, but maybe have a second slot in there to where you could put another SSD internally to the console.
Well, the way it sounds, and this is theory, the drive they're actually putting in there, I believe, is an NVMe drive. So the drive might actually be soldered onto the board.
It'd still be nice to have some kind of upgrading capability that's not just an external hard drive.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Because the 360s, like the old ones, where they, you had the OS that would boot, I guess, off of some separate memory, and then you had the hard drive for all your game saves.
For your actual storage, yeah.
Yeah, so there was actually onboard memory to store the OS. I mean, with a lot of the newer stuff, and they're kind of going to the Windows 10 model, guessing there's not really onboard memory that they want to store the OS on, but if they want to take that internal drive and maybe at least make that for the OS drive, make it a 500 gig one, and then let people install their own SSDs in there, because you're going to get better performance on an internal SSD than you would have over USB 3.
Actually, the USB 3 interface is faster than the SATA 6 or SATA 3.
I'm hoping they're using SATA 6 on the inside.
On the inside, I believe they're using the PCI bus.
But that still has to be faster than USB, because the USB is going over PCI bus. Yes.
But SATA Type 3, which is the current gen SATA, I believe.
There's six.
Which is six, or yeah, SATA 6. The USB 3 standard is actually faster than the SATA interface. And you never know, there might be a USB 4 on the back of the new console too, which is what Thunderbolt is going to be renamed to eventually. But basically a Thunderbolt port, which that's, what, 40 gigabits per second? That's pretty damn quick.
I thought Thunderbolt was Apple proprietary.
Well, it's... People call it the Thunderbolt connection because of the transfer rate. But it's the USB-C connector, but it's the high-speed connector.
Gotcha. I honestly hadn't even heard of USB 4 until you just mentioned it.
Well, I just recently heard that they were looking at changing the name to USB 4. Same standard, just shoot. Same standard, just different name.
Transfer rates?
No, same transfer rates and everything, just different name.
All right. I guess I'll have to look more into that. And then, obviously, xCloud being a part of that and being able to run on consoles is going to be a huge part of that as well. You basically have a pretty powerful machine to do it. So that would, I mean, probably the Xbox One X would be good enough, but then you throw a Scarlett in there and that's just going to make local streaming of games even that much better.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was pretty much it for the Scarlett stuff. I did mention that they have GDDR6 memory in there. They're using a custom design processor using a Zen 2 and Radeon RDNA architecture. It's arriving 2020. And that's about it. There's not a lot of stuff there other than kind of the specs that they want to give us for now until there's actual statistics to get on it. I think, didn't Digital Foundry do some analysis on a Scarlett? Or am I thinking of something else?
They posed some theories. I don't know that they actually, what they...
Okay. Maybe it's something else I was thinking of that they did. So that's pretty much Scarlett, or everything that we know about it so far. The only other things that really stuck out to me that I was interested in was Keanu Reeves and Cyberpunk.
Yeah, didn't interest me.
I assume it wouldn't interest everybody, but it's just one of those things for me personally. I really like Keanu Reeves as an actor. Love him in The Matrix and couple of his other movies. Just funny thing, I actually watched John Wick on the flight over to LA, so it was kind of funny to watch that and then see him at the brief. So that was kind of cool. Looking at the Xbox update as well, the Elite Series 2 controller will launch on November 4th for $180. So it's going to be a pricey thing.
Oh yeah, it's not going to be cheap.
I was surprised that Age of Empires Definitive Edition, or Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition, getting a graphical upgrade. Still looks like it plays like old Age of Empires. But talking with Futch and a couple other people, apparently Age of Empires 2 was the best Age of Empires game, but it still looks like it feels old just from the gameplay that we saw. Were you an Age of Empires player at all or not? No? Okay.
No, I was not.
They showed off some more Borderlands 3. Talked a little bit about, I think, the DLC that's coming to Borderlands 2, which is kind of the transition from 2 to 3. They also announced a Gears Pop mobile game, which was weird. I thought that just completely came out of left field.
I heard rumors of it early this year. I mean, it's, I, you know, fun little mobile game, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know what the concept of it is.
Neither do I. It's a game. That's all we know at this point. Forza Horizon 4 has the LEGO Speed Champions expansion, which I'm kind of looking forward to. I played the heck out of LEGO Racers growing up, which is a really old game when LEGO actually made software. That was one of the games I was allowed to play, and I played the heck out of it. So kind of curious to see how that feels. There's the Microsoft Flight Simulator, which I thought that was a cool announcement.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who not necessarily grew up, but were really into the Microsoft Flight Simulator. And the fact that they're using real-time data to feed into the game and then being powered by Azure almost makes it seem like this flight simulator is probably the best that it could possibly get. And I don't think there's been an update to Microsoft Flight Simulator for a while, or at least one that has really been meaningful to anyone that I've talked to who plays or has been interested in Microsoft Flight Simulator. But this seems like a pretty huge update.
Yeah.
And it'll be coming to Game Pass. So that was... I'm not someone that would play Microsoft Flight Simulator. That's just not my type of game. And my brother actually had Airport Tycoon and did that for a little while, which you can't necessarily fly the plane, but you're basically controlling an airport. I couldn't get into that kind of thing. I might try it out, but it was not something I would play for a long time. But yeah. I know a lot of people who would possibly be really interested in trying this out. I also have Minecraft Dungeons, which is a new adventure mode version of Minecraft. New Ori game, new Star Wars and Star Wars Lego game. A lot of Xbox indie titles as well. And that's pretty much the extent of, I think, our interest in the E3 Xbox press brief.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers it.
So overall, Halo's cool. Xbox Scarlet looks pretty cool. We'll have to wait for more details on that. Elite Controller 2, hopefully it has better outcome than my initial feelings of the bumpers. They said they took feedback from people who have had the controllers before, so they had to have done something to the bumpers to make them more resilient.
Yeah, they've done something. I don't know what. They've done something. Like I said, the real problem with the bumpers was the pivot point. That's where they would break. It was really thin, really flimsy plastic. I hope they actually have. Well, we'll see if they've changed it to like a regular button type mechanism where, you know, it's on like vertical slides. I think that'll make it a lot better.
Okay. And I'm sure there will be people taking it apart whenever they can get their hands on it in November. So just gotta watch out for those videos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there'll be a iFixit video on it.
Yep. The only other thing that was not in the press brief or something that we didn't talk about already was Halo Reach on PC, which felt really good. It looks incredible. For a game that's that old, and they didn't even touch the textures. That's just the normal textures. There was some aspect of the game that they basically removed. I think it was like visual occlusion or something. I forget what Dursky said it was, but they removed some aspect of Reach, which made it look like it was blurry, like the motion blur stuff. The motion blur is still in there, but there was like a graphical enhancement to kind of hide some of the minor graphical blips, because I guess they were pushing the engine so far in Reach. So they actually removed that out, and it looks just incredible.
From what I saw on the stream, it looked really good. It looked really crisp. the gameplay was smooth. Those of you that have played 30 and 60 FPS, you know there's a visible difference in just the way you perceive the picture. There's just something different about it, and I can't put my finger on it. I know when I'm playing at 30 FPS, the picture looks different, and it's probably just my perception of the frame rate.
So there is studies that if you, like for gamers, if you have like adrenaline going, you're really focused, you can perceive past 30 frames per second. It gets up into like the 42 frames per second rate. So you can start telling the difference between 30 seconds and 60, or 60 frames and 30 frames per second.
You know, the one thing that, you know, me personally, now people have said that they can tell the difference. I cannot tell the difference between 60 and 120. To me, there is nothing there for me. There is no reason to push my monitor that hard because I don't see any difference. My machine is not capable of doing that, but I have played on machines that are capable of pushing into the 200s, but you know, you're limited by what the monitor will do. You know, there's only so much that you can do. But, you know, I've gone clear up to 144 hertz, and to me, it doesn't look any faster, crisper than 60 FPS. But that said, the changes that they've made so far to Reach look really impressive, and I can't wait to get my hands on it. I'm checking my email about 3 times a day looking for that little note that says, hey, here's your download code.
Yeah.
I have Steam sitting there waiting.
Yep.
Patiently.
There is a little blurb in the update saying that we might get it next week.
Might. We hope.
So we'll get to that in a minute.
But, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing how that runs. On my, the, you know, I've got my desktop, which is not a slouch. It's not state of the art. It was almost state of the art in 2013, but hey, you know, it's 2019.
Yep.
But, you know, 6 months later, it was outdated, so it doesn't really matter. It has no problems running a game at 1080p, 60 FPS. It has no struggles doing that. I don't even stress the processor doing it, the processor or the graphics card. What I'll be really interested to see is how my laptop handles it. And here's the big decision. Which games do I uninstall to install?
Portable hard drive.
I'm seriously considering putting an external, because I've got USB 3 ports on it. I'm seriously considering moving a couple of games to a portable drive.
Because you can easily find a 2 terabyte for less than $85.
Like I said, I'm seriously considering it.
Yep. Moving on to some Discovery Dispatch, unless there's anything else E3 you wanted to bring up.
No, I pretty much beat that horse to death.
All right. Since we recorded our last normal podcast, so 2 weeks ago, we've had 2 Discovery Dispatches come out from Grim Brother 1. We had the Ring Experience. There was also an announcement video for this as well with the honeybee that we're going to be flying through and talking with DJ and watching. Like, if you watch the Mixer stream during E3, you'll know that's an 8-meter dome. So 8 meters tall, 16 meter diameter, that you'll be flying through a Halo ring, which is going to be pretty amazing. Looking at the video that they posted, it's like, ooh, I can't wait for this. And John Friend was also saying that it's kind of like a 4D theater in the way, so they'll have, I think they said they'll have like chairs that'll kind of move a little bit with the flight patterns, so it'll actually feel like you're flying through a Halo ring, which, that's incredible.
Okay, The one thing I want to see honeybees flying around when I'm on the Halo ring in Infinite.
I don't know how I think it's not necessarily a feeling, but they've kind of made this purposefully as a, I think from a lore perspective, a,
I know. I understand what they're trying to do with it, but I want to see a honeybee in somewhat real life.
I get what you're saying. That'd be a good question for Grim.
Actually, what I'd like to see is, you know, just a segment where in Halo Infinite, where you're using it for like a recon craft or something, you know, they have the Oni special edition version. Yeah. Stealth.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But anyway, that's just, you know, hopes and dreams.
This is going to be a really cool experience. All the experiences are going to be a cool experience.
Mm-hmm.
But this one specifically, it looks like it's probably one of those experiences that's going to be 8-10 minutes long. And you do have the 4D effect. So, like, you have the chairs that kind of move around with it. And I think that's going to really... Not to...
It'll definitely enhance the experience.
Yeah, for sure.
At the Disney parks, they have something similar to that. Well, when we went in Futureland, where I think it's called Alien Escape or something like that. Anyway, you know, where they have, you know, this a little different than this. You know, this has more to do with stage acting than playing video, but same idea. You know, you're in a seat. You do have a restraint on you, you know, similar to what you have in a steel roller coaster, you know, an over the shoulder harness, but it's not really there to hold you in the chair. It's part of that 4D experience. And it really does get you into it. It really adds a lot to the performance. So I hope everybody really enjoys it, because it sounds like it's going to be a blast.
Oh, yeah. One of the things that Eric Abu just brought up, so thanks Eric Abu for bringing this up, is a reminder that the honeybee is a drone. So if the honeybee could be used as a reconnaissance drone, like you were saying in Halo 5, then we could see something like it. So you're onto something there. The other Discovery dispatch we had was for Training Grounds, and this is the 3v3 VR experience. It's basically you're in Halo, and this was also the thing that Bonnie and Rob and a few others tweeted out that they tried with people on the ground and everything. So your VR set is a backpack that you wear, and you have the VR. So it's a totally mobile VR thing. It's going to be interesting to see all the fails of people trying to move around.
Yeah, I hope they give the Spartans legs and actual arms.
Yeah, that was one thing I noticed too. I'm wondering if that's just a pre-build of it, because in the video, there were no feet and no arms. There was just a torso, a head, and a floating weapon.
Yeah, it is.
And something DJ reminded us is the walls that are showing up in VR do not exist in real life.
Oh.
So you can't jump over walls, or else you'll probably just fall on your face.
Well, from what I saw, I don't think people will, with that pack on, will be wanting to climb over walls. But don't get me wrong, there's some talented people out there. They're special.
Well, in some of the pictures that we saw too, people were on the ground trying to duck and get out of the way too. So people are moving around in the space.
Yeah. Sketch was doing an interview about this, and yeah, he was talking about this. It was with, I was watching it earlier today. I forget which
was on the Mixer stream.
No, it was a interview for, you know, another news site.
Oh.
Not like, it was like IGN, but it wasn't IGN. I think it was a European news agency or gaming news agency. I can't remember. But okay. him and one of the other Xbox crew were there, or not Xbox, Halo crew were there. And they were talking about it. It was a learning experience that, you know, one of them was trying to, you know, reach over cover and shoot, and then realize that when he did that, he exposed himself.
Oh, yes.
To being shot. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what players do in here. And I believe something that he said as well is there will be screens where you can watch like certain people's viewpoints or watch what's going on in the VR arena while you're waiting. So that's kind of cool.
So you can give your friends crap when they come out?
Exactly. Because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yep. So those are the two dispatches that we got. And then the last thing that we have for tonight is the latest community update, which Unishek posted a little bit earlier today saying that there was a unforeseen pizza incident that was going to make the update come out late. So as of right now, when we're recording this, the update came out about an hour ago. A lot of it was a recap of E3 and some of the discoveries dispatch that we just talked about. Starting off, we have some of the confirmed details for Outpost Discovery. Obviously, the release date is Holiday 2020, which will be launched with Project Scarlet. It'll be on all Xbox devices and Windows PC. It follows the Master Chief story time after Halo 5. It will include LAN support. It will be running split screen. So right now, split screen is up and running internally. Black undersuits will be back in the game. That was a big deal for a lot of people.
The things that people get picky about.
And the codpiece.
Oh, just not even get started on that one. Jeez. You know, when they released that Halo 4 trailer, I thought the Halo community as a general was going to have an aneurysm. Because Chief's package wasn't protected.
Got to protect them family jewels that he doesn't use.
Yeah, it's like, what is he going to do with them?
Right. Fighting programs, according to Postums, he put a tweet out a little bit earlier saying that if everything goes according to plan, we might see fighting start as soon as next week.
Please let my name be on the list. Please let my name be on the list.
Please let me be on the list too. If anyone's going to Outpost, though, and you happen to not get on the list, there will be Reach on PC, the same build that was at E3, at Outpost Discovery, every location.
Cool.
So there is that. DJ told us that earlier this week. PC fighting will come out a little bit later for PC players, but they're treating PC as first-class citizens. They've said that before. Player customization, if you like the armor customization options in Reach, you will be pleased. SR 152, players who hit 152 in Halo 5 Guardians will receive a token of appreciation in Halo Infinite. Again, I don't think this is necessarily something you have to get 152 before it comes out, but at some point, if you hit 152, you'll probably get this token of appreciation, whatever it is. And then there is an internal pro team for Halo Infinite, which we kind of already knew. That's everything public that we know about Infinite so far. They talk about the Master Chief Collection on PC.
Oh, and if you want some high-quality backgrounds and box art and stuff, they do have a link to the Xbox Wire Media Press Kit. I recommend you go download it if you want some really cool wallpapers. Or they also have a link in the update where you can download them directly.
Yeah, there was a forum post that Snickerdoodle posted that have all the media assets plus some social media banners and GIFs to use as well, which are not in the press kit. So it's probably better just to go over to the forums and grab everything from there. Master Chief Collection, they had some details on pricing. So everything for MCC, all the base game type stuff is going to be $10 a piece, plus ODST being a $5 add-on. And I believe the Reach Firefight stuff is also going to be a $5 add-on. I don't think they've formally announced that yet, but that's kind of the going theory right now. But all the games individually basically is going to be $10 a piece.
So $50, that's not bad.
Yeah. We've got the next thing being PC flighting, which we kind of talked about a little bit already. So again, next week, a small subsection of registered insiders is what they'll look to deploy to. Again, it's targeted, not necessarily mean it's going to happen, but that's what they're targeting. As far as MCC updates from the publishing side, there's been a couple updates over the past few weeks. The latest update involves some quality of life improvements that was addressed on June 11th. We did talk about some of those in the one beforehand because they did talk about it, or they did kind of mention what they were going to do because it was E3 week, so we won't go over those again. But there is MCC playlist updates for MCC. They've added Epic or Skyward, Team Slayer, Multi-Flag Seat. They've added the Epic Skyward map for Team Slayer, Multi-Flag CTF, Neutral Bomb Assault, Crazy King, Oddball, SWAT, Snipers, and Fiesta. For Heatstrokes, which is also Forged on Skyward, they have it added for Team Slayer and Multi-Flag CTF. And then Select, which was built on Awash, this was Team Slayer, Multi-Flag CTF, Ricochet, Crazy King, Oddball, SWAT, Snipers, and Fiesta. All three of these maps were the three maps that won the Forge Hub Forgetacular contest. Again, they're Epic, Heatstroke, and Select. I believe the Forgetacular one was the one that was in April. All the maps were chosen in April. Those are now in matchmaking for MCC for the aforementioned game modes. So there you go. More Forge stuff in Halo. Good stuff. Next up, some HCS news. There's a new Halo 3 tournament that is hosted by Red Bull called Rise Till Dawn. And this is a tournament that will be taking place overnight. This will be starting at 7 p.m. when doors open and then close at 5:28 a.m. when the tournament concludes. I guess that's when sunrise is. This is being hosted on the 99th floor of Chicago's Willis Tower. That's really high up. The 99th floor. This is a Halo 3 tournament. Halo 3 2v2 tournament. You can head on over to RedBullRiseTillDawn.com to register and find out more details about the tournament. And also a reminder that the FACEIT Ignite Halo European Open is taking place August 17th through 18th. 32 teams can register. There's a Halo 3 4v4 and a Halo 5 2v2, which will be taking place at Twickenham Stadium in Twickenham, London. And there's some of the new applications as well for the HCS Grassroots Content Creators. As a reminder, the latest ones that were added were Saiyan, Reclaimer, Ishii, and Shyway. The next Content Creators application time window is going to be the entire month of July. For Halo 5 community calendar or playlist calendar, they've updated it all the way through the end of July. So this weekend we have Rock and Rails rotating in for Foreigner Slayer. Next week we'll have Husky Raid rotating in for Halo 1 Anniversary Throwback. And that Husky Raid playlist will feature some of the Forge Hub Husky Raid contest winners. So that'll also be pretty cool. So we've got Forge Hub contest winners in MCC and coming to Halo 5.
Woo-hoo.
So there you go. Warzone Turbo will also be back next weekend. On July 2nd, Halo 3 Classic Throwback enters Ranked for the month. Griffball rotates in for Rock and Rails in Social. On July 11th, Castle Wars rotates in for Husky Raid. Warzone Assault also goes live for the weekend. On July 18th, we have Covenant Slayer rotating in for Griffball. On July 25th, we have Mythic Shoddy Snipers rotating in for Castle Wars. And, of course, Warzone Turbo again.
And will he play it? No.
On June 27th, it depends on how well my Outpost panels are being prepped. Because right now, those are the priority, unfortunately. Warzone Turbo is going to have to take a backseat if those are not ready. So maybe on the 25th of July, I'll be playing.
He'll still be working on these buttons.
Well, if the buttons aren't done by then there's no buttons this year. The next stuff is the Halo Outpost Discovery stuff, which we mostly talked about already. They have the videos for the Ring Experience, Training Grounds, which is the VR thing, and then the Hall of History, which we talked about already. There are still passes available for all locations. They did announce that the Saturday VIP passes are all sold out for Orlando earlier this week. There are still tickets available, though, if you would like to attend. They had some Halo gear that was announced for E3 as well. There's a whole new collection of things over on gear.xbox.com. There is a Reach mouse pad, so the one that they were showing off on the Reach MCC stream. This is the same mouse pad that you can buy. It's $25.
I want the hat.
There's a hat that you can get as well.
Or is it a shirt?
Or sorry, no, you're talking about the
Emil one.
Emil? Oh, that's no, a that's shirt. A shirt, sorry.
Yeah. $60? Wow.
It's a hoodie. Yeah. There's a Reach Noble Team shirt that has the Noble Team logo on the front, and then it has the Reach poster on the back. There's a Master Chief Polo shirt, which is pretty cool. Although that's $35. It's a Halo Infinite long sleeve tee. I don't know why they made it only long sleeve, because I don't really wear long sleeve t-shirts.
Me neither.
And then a lot of the other stuff I think has already been in the store before. So a couple of new things that they've added.
The Needler tee didn't look too bad.
That was one of the first Xbox gear items that ever came out. I bought that one. It's a nice t-shirt.
Yeah, I can't say that I'll be jumping in on that polo shirt.
Not at that price, no. I have my own Potacular shirt.
Pretty good. See, the sad part is, the Noble shirt is actually big enough.
Oh, there you go.
They've actually got that one in a size big enough for me. I may have to order that one.
All right.
Hope the wife didn't kill me for spending $25 on a shirt.
That's kind of common for shirts, 20 to 25.
For a t-shirt?
Yeah. For those kind of t-shirts, yeah. That's normal. That's just the way it is. I know it's painful, but that's just some of those graphic tees, yeah, they're that expensive.
Yeah, the shirt that I'm wearing is not $25.
Neither was this one that I'm wearing. It was 20? It's $5 difference, but
the shirt I'm wearing, granted, I did not buy it. I will say I did not buy it.
But if you did.
But if I did, it would only have been about $12. And it's actually a decent shirt.
It's that premium quality MetaThreads.
You know, this thing, it's been through hell, honestly.
Been through the wash a few times?
She's in a couple. It's something that work provided to me during one of our promotions. And I only got one and had to wear it every day for was it 3 weeks? So I got to do laundry frequently. Anyway, I was like, if you're going to make me wear it, at least give me two of them. I'm one of those, I don't like wearing t-shirts to work. I like to have my pockets because I carry stuff in my pockets, like pens. And
you have a pocket protector?
No, I don't have a pocket protector. I don't carry that much stuff. Back when I was in a shop, I actually did use one because I had quite a bit of stuff that I'd carry in my shirt pockets because I couldn't carry it in my pants pockets because of the risk of scratching the paint on a car.
Oh.
So I carried a lot more stuff, you know, up here where I wouldn't accidentally scratch a car.
Okay.
Yeah, I asked the boss for a raise so I can afford to buy Halo stuff. This is going to have to be one hell of a raise, too.
Halo collecting is an expensive hobby.
Well, collecting in general is an expensive hobby.
Well, that's true. Like, make of that point.
My collection of Xboxes ain't exactly cheap.
Right.
Well, considering that each one of my Xboxes is roughly $400 a piece. Yeah. My collector's Xboxes.
Well, the 360s were, what, $250?
Not new. The Halo 3 Xbox was $399.
Okay, I didn't buy the Halo 3 Xbox brand new.
The Halo Reach Xbox
but brand the new Reach was
$399.
One, wasn't $299?
No, it was $399.
Oh.
The regular Xbox was like, I think it was like $50 less.
Maybe I did spend that much on those Xboxes. Okay. Now you might be right.
Well, the Reach one might have been cheaper, but it averages out to about $400 a console.
They're saying use the Microsoft rewards to buy the shirts. I'm bad about doing the big rewards.
Actually, I need to. I wonder how many I've got. Well, I've got 15,312.
See how many Microsoft Store bucks that turns into? But while you're doing that, next thing on this update is that the Halo Legendary crate, the last one for this year, got pushed back a month. And they have a picture of the Noble Six figure, which he's all chromed out for his armor.
Woo-hoo! Chrome.
Actually looks pretty and
it's
nice.
It's that real fake chrome, too. Oh.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's not chrome paint. It's better than that, but
it looks nice. They did extend orders to July 15th, and right now, Loot Crate has a 50% off coupon, Summer 50. So if you go to lootcrate.com/podtackler, you can find the crate. And then if you use Summer 50 at checkout, that's 50% off of your crate. That's pretty freaking good. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that aren't happy with the crates, but if you want to finish out the year and if you like Noble Team and you want to at least get something for half off, then there you go.
Well, it doesn't tell me what 1,600 points gets me. It just says.
So the code works for 1, 3, and 6 crate plans for monthly subscriptions. So any subscription plan that gets you up to 6 months. And the code expires on June 27th.
Okay, a $25 gift card is 2,300 points.
So you're 8,000 short.
Wow. But anyway, Halo Lone Wolf hardcover. Cool. I need to get off my butt and start getting those.
I need to get off my butt and just read stuff.
That's the one side that I've fallen behind on is the comics. I haven't been as diligent reading comics. Because unfortunately, you know, to read comics, I have to actually sit down and read them. Where with the books, I can do the audiobook thing, so I can do other things while I listen.
Right. Yeah. I've read through some of that stuff once, but yeah, I need to get back through some of those. Well, just need to read stuff in general. I'll just leave it at that. Dark Horse is giving away one of their 18-inch Unity Infinity replicas. All you have to do is go over to their Twitter account, find the tweet, follow them at Dark Horse Direct, and follow at Halo on Twitter. Retweet the tweet, and wait to see if you win. Contest ends on Monday, June 24th.
So good luck with it.
Yep. For some of the radar blips, 343 social stream yesterday was with Patrick Wren, who's a multiplayer designer. You can catch the replay over on the Mixer VODs. A U.S. Army Halo Esports team is hosting another Halo 3 1v1 tournament that's open to the public on Saturday, June 22nd. You can reach out to Footed Panda on Twitter, or you can go to the challenge link that is in the update. There's also the Sea of Thieves Spartan ship set. This was available to folks who signed in to Sea of Thieves up through June 15th. So it's a Spartan, like Halo Spartan themed skin for your ship. So you got sails, you got Master Chief with a shield and a spear on the front and all that kind of stuff. There's also a Limitless on Mixer, tips and tricks. So Limitless Solutions crew stopped by the studio and Xbox to talk about the Halo-themed prosthetic. You can check out the Mixer VOD that the link is in the update. And you can read up on the collaboration post that they have linked as well. And then The artwork. Uni's glorious artwork. This one is one of the concept art pieces from Halo Infinite. This is already comes in 4K, but he just provides it anyway for folks to use if they want. And yeah, that's what we've got. They did say that they hid some codes for the Sea of Thieves Spartan stuff. I'm guessing all those codes are probably gone by now.
Probably.
Probably inspect the page source code to find it. I didn't see anything that stuck out like a key code or something like that. Unless someone in one of our streams have already tried to claim them. Or know where they are. So that's all for us this week. So we got through E3, we got through some updates, and all that fun stuff. Next week, we will have Masters on from SPV3 to talk about their latest update to their SPV3 project. We also might have a second show, which I need to confirm with GT first, because I haven't done that yet. But we'll let you know if that happens or not. The following week, we will be doing our community wrap-up, which might be on a different day because I'm traveling out on the Thursday. So that might be a Tuesday or a Wednesday type thing, but we'll go over all the project updates and all the community updates. And then the week after I get back, we'll be talking about the first Outpost experience. The week following will be our Hunters in the Dark discussion. And that's our tentative schedule for the next month or so of podcasts. Lots of stuff happening. Any final thoughts, GT, before we wrap it up?
No, I'm beat.
Bedtime for I'm both done. Of us.
It's, yeah. It's beyond bedtime, actually.
Fair point. All right, you can check us out on all of our social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I was posting quite a bit during E3, so you probably saw some stuff over there. But if you haven't, feel free to go check them out over there. Like some of the posts. React to some of the posts. It's all good. You can also check us out on our social or our streaming platforms. We stream on Mixer, Twitch, and YouTube for all of our streams and gaming stuff. I think for now on, we're not going to stream to Facebook and Periscope anymore for the podcast. It's just a little extra hassle that's not really worth it right now. So, and we don't get much interaction from either one of those.
In other words, Facebook and Twitter are being a royal pain in the and it's just not worth it.
Or just Facebook and Periscope. It's not really easy to manage that stuff because the video stays up there and then I have to go back and delete the stream later on. It's a hassle. So just for the simplicity's sake of it, YouTube, Twitch, and Mixer is where you can find us every week for podcast. For Fragment Friday, which is hosted by GT, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then my achievements streams on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Right now going through Halo Definitive Edition or Halo Wars Definitive Edition with Laird. So that's where you can find us. You can also check out our Spartan Company. We're still going for that Achilles helmet. We've got a couple of close ones. Our closest one right now, which is from downtown, which is killing an enemy Spartan from long distance. We've got about 350 of those to go. And, of course, our very last one is all the way at the bottom, which is killing an enemy Spartan with a soldier bash. We still need about 8,500 of those to go.
Only?
Yes, only. Make it sound so simple.
Yeah, it's, we'll have it by the end of 2050.
Oh. I'd be done before then. And I've got 152 to start grinding out, too.
Yeah, I'm thinking I need to start working on that more seriously.
After Outpost, I think I will. We'll see how it goes. Also, depending on when this gets out, which I'm hoping to get out before it happens, Halo Bowl 3 is kicking off this weekend. I, along with Keys, Bobby, and Conthal, will be competing for Potacular. Probably not going to win, but we're fighting for the title of Halo Bowl champion. And of course, this is benefiting Gamers Outreach. It's a charity tournament. So please head on over to bit.ly/halo-bowl-3, all lowercase. And the 3 is the number 3. That's where you can find the stream. That's where you can also donate. We are looking for $4,000 to raise enough money to build one go-kart for Gamers Outreach. The winner of the tournament gets to prioritize where the cart goes. So 2 years ago, Drunken Halo won, and they got the crate, or they got the go-kart to go to Dallas. So depending on whoever wins this year, we'll hopefully influence where the crate that the money funds will go to next. I hope Key's backpack is enough to get us into the top three. We'll see how well it goes. We'll just have to tune in to find out. Mudcat will be hosting and commentating again this year. So thanks again, Mudcat, for doing that. All the action takes place 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, June 22nd. This will be on Mudcat's stream over on mixer.com/Mudcat. We'll be a couple giveaways, including Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, a Sea of Thieves code, and possibly something else. We'll just have to tune in to find out. That'll be it for us tonight. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We will catch you all in one of our other streams, or catch you all next week. Until then, keep on fracking them trucks.